Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Thursdays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
Oh, Kevin, you know how I love that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Kevin Carr.
And this is Back Talk. Okay, Kev. Yeah, you know, we're before the election, so things are uncertain. Why I selected the platform 2 is also under question.
Yeah, I was surprised. It is not the normal suggestion from you.
I'll tell you, 5 years ago, I was really excited about the platform.
Okay.
I thought it was an unusual horror film. I thought the premise was really exotic.
Yeah.
And I found myself riveted to it, and apparently many others did because it set Netflix records.
Yeah, you were one of the, 56 million people who watched it?
Oh, gee, I know that. So I thought, the minute I saw Platform 2, I said, well, all right, let's go. And I said, I've got to have somebody whose brain is big enough to handle this thing. And having seen Platform 2, I'm not so sure I'm smart about Platform 2. I think I'm really still talking about Platform 1 as it blends into Platform 2.
Yeah, well, and I do have a confession. I've not seen the first one. I've not seen Platform, which I believe this is a prequel. I read somewhere that it's
is
actually...
Is that right? I have not read it. Yeah. I have not. But they're very similar.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a more humanistic... Mm-hmm. It centers more on the people than the first one centered on the idea. But I thought the conception was amazing. I just hadn't seen a horror film like this.
Yeah, it's a surreal conception because it is very obvious that this is allegorical. This is obviously, quite literally about tears in society.
What do they say, to the point or something?
Yeah, they almost bring it out. They almost sit there and say, well, so-and-so is proletariat and this is bourgeoisie. But this blurs the line between reality and the conception. You know, something like, if you remember the movie Mother, or Mother with an exclamation mark.
Oh, I do.
Darren Aronofsky.
That's right,
That's not about two people in a house. That's about something much, much bigger.
And I'll tell you, you've hit on the point where what intrigues me is the allegorical element here. Mm-hmm. It's so obvious that it is a good teaching point for people who don't know what we mean by that term.
Yeah.
So and if you look at allegory as a story with multiple levels of meaning, you know, they talk about figurative, they talk about metaphor and so on, but it's all a comparison. Allegory is you take what's there, you take this platform coming down with food on it, and you have various levels of interest in that food, allegorically.
And access to that food.
And access to that person, access to that food. So then your allegory is pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Because the people at the top of our food chain, so to speak, are getting the best.
Yeah.
And those of there are 333 levels here.
Yeah. And they're fighting in the first 50. You know, I mean, they're
yeah. Right. They get down to maybe 100 and something, and there's no food left.
Yeah. No regular food.
No.
Yeah. They hint to where they're getting fed. Yeah. They don't just hint; they show it.
And when we get to our podcast, let's talk about some other horror films that are somewhat similar to this. I don't find any that's really, you might. But when we get to it, we'll
talk about similar movies and sort of what I find interesting, and this is where it goes, and you can hear me talk more about that on the podcast, but the premise to this, at a certain point, it's a broken premise. Because part of it is people go in there, I guess, kind of on their own free will.
Well, no.
Why?
Our protagonist does.
Yeah.
And actually, I think he's...
a couple of the characters, they hint that was like, well, I decided, you know, just this was better than spending a week in jail kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And so... The allegory kind of overtakes the reality of it, but they do it in such a small amount that it still works.
Well, I think our protagonist in 2 has brought his book along. He wanted time to read his Don Quixote.
Oh, yeah, that's, I think, from the first one.
Is that from the first, yeah. See, I'm going to bleed both together.
Yeah.
Please excuse me, because they're very similar.
The basic premise is they're in this tiered, sort of like it's a jail or a prison of some sort, and everyone's allowed to bring one item.
Yes.
and everything from pillows to knives, and then other people, and you also have a choice of one type of food to get every day, but you have to just trust that no one's going to eat it.
And that's the second part. Platform 2 emphasizes this. They finally figure out, the loyalists, whoever they are, they finally figure out how to make sure that everybody gets some food.
Well, so, for until it breaks down, well, as you go deeper and deeper.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah. And so you have a portion that you get every time it comes down, and you are not allowed to take anybody else's. Even if somebody dies, they are not allowed to take that person's food.
Yeah, they have rules. You can't take the food. You got to throw out the food that's not
that's not
eaten by people who've either died or can't or whatever. You're not allowed to share. But also, just that premise itself, it evokes more of a idea of kind of being caught in your own prison. Because whatever your favorite, say your favorite food is prime rib. After a couple of days of prime rib, you're going to get kind of sick of prime rib. You're not going to want to eat prime rib again.
Our one protagonist eats only pizza.
Pizza. One of them eats only plums. One of them has croquettes with ham in it. Yeah. I mean,
and he, so interesting, he is naked from the belly up with his belly hanging out.
Yeah.
He's really a grotesque figure, and he continues to be naked that way. It's very interesting.
Well, yeah, and then eventually it's the more vulnerable he gets, the more clothes he puts on.
Right. There's a point at which he's fully clothed.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And then our female, who has, and about whom we don't know why she's there, why she.
We eventually know, but even then it's very murky as to why.
I was going to ask you, what crime did she commit?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying sort of like the premise doesn't quite hold up. But if you do it right in a film like that, you can have a broken premise, because that's also a tip of the hat to the audience. That's like, look for something deeper, even though it's pretty obvious. You know, you're talking about a tiered system. The other thing I find fascinating about this, from the perspective of this being society.
Yes.
And the higher up you are in society, the better chance you have to live. And if you try to do some sort of equity, it does break down as resources dwindle and as human nature comes up, but everyone fights with each other, but they never fight with the people who created the system, which is sort of, as we come to election time, that seems very relevant.
And you can shout up and down this corridor.
There's limits to how far you can.
Right, but you can shout.
Couple levels,
right, because you can shout at the people above you because they've got to leave food for you. And you can shout as somebody who has control of the people who are going to be able to eat below you. It's a very interesting concept. And Kev, I don't find that many horror tropes in this.
I'm reluctant to call it a horror movie because the premise is more sci-fi.
All right, okay.
But I mean, it does bleed that line. And I know it's listed as a horror movie, and it's certainly violent.
Yes.
And it has the gore, but it just depends on how you define horror. I have a friend who defines horror as whatever makes you uncomfortable. And so by that, absolutely. These are uncomfortable movies to watch.
Right, yeah. For instance, any jump scares? When the thing happens to click down.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, you don't have a cat leaping in front of the...
So there's no interest in some of the traditional tropes of the horror film. Now, blood even.
There's a lot of it.
We mostly see flesh.
In a horror movie, and when we say this now, when a movie like Terrifier has beaten the box office,
you'll have to tell
Terrifier
me about that
3.
Later. Yeah, I know.
That blood is often used in a horror movie as a scare tactic. It's not used as a scare tactic. It's a representation of violence.
Yeah. Okay.
More than anything else, I mean, the more people bleed, the more society or the little system they have breaks down.
Yes. Yeah. And we could say that one of the topics here, which we might look at, the idea of cannibalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we might get that. But, Kev, so we're back at Platform 2, a truly exotic film that's streaming on Netflix.
Yeah.
I advise combination of 1 and 2 is a really good experience, but you are quite right, as you told us in this movie time. You don't need to see 1 to see 2 to appreciate.
And 2 is technically a prequel, so.
We ended movie time by just mentioning cannibalism.
Yes, that's how many times has that happened with us? If I had a nickel,
how do they work this cannibalism in this thing, and how does it fit into its allegory?
Well, okay, the way cannibalism works is, there's, as you pointed out on the show, there's 333 levels, and after about 50, 60 levels, the food system breaks down. Right, whatever happens, right. Somebody eats something they're not supposed
Somebody's
to.
Somebody's in their car now. Like, they got to know that there are 333 levels on each level, yeah. A platform with food on it stops. Well,
and people forget that even if there's no food going down, that's... a couple hundred more levels with giant bags of meat walking around. That's going to happen. I mean, I think they had to address it. I think to not address it would have been a disservice to the story.
That's a good point. It's said there's some kind of saying that we can go 3 days without food before we start stealing.
There's you can go a lot longer without food than without water, but have running water.
Yes, they do. Yeah. I thought that was an interesting touch.
It's interesting that there's also like punishment, which they can have wine with the dinner, but you know they're going to get punished, and that's part of their last meal before the punishment or something. But they do address the cannibalism in the sense that there's a desperation there.
Yes.
And if you want to throw it into the political analogy, is the more downtrodden people are, the farther down in this caste system,
right.
in any sort of society, what I took away from it was the more likely you are to eat your own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it becomes less an us versus them and a me against the world.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You're basically the human survival. It's the Donner Party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's something that is odious to all of us who are well-fed.
Yeah,
to even think that could happen. But one of the things I like about the film, and the element that is horror to me, is they're actually eating the flesh and several times in this movie.
Yeah,
and I find that disconcerting every time
They didn't eat a real person. It was special effects.
Was it? Okay.
It was probably chicken.
I wish I had talked to you earlier. So there's a film that I love.
Okay.
And I think we'd call it a horror film. Mm-hmm. And it maybe is my favorite of all of them.
The Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Hannibal the Cannibal.
Yeah, right.
he eats a guy's face.
Right, yes. And in most of the case, we're aware that he indulges in cannibalism.
They actually show that, in like the movie Hannibal.
Okay.
The last one that Ridley Scott directed, Julianne Moore took over as Clarice, they actually have him consuming human flesh, or not even flesh, because it's Ray Liotta's brain.
Yeah, and his most famous line, I think, is he's going to have it with a Chianti and fava beans.
A girl's liver with Chianti and some fava beans.
So I don't think there's a joke in all of Platform 2.
And
actually, Hannibal Lecter.
It's quite serious.
Yeah, it is quite serious.
The thing is, Hannibal Lecter would just rule supreme in a place like that because he's brilliant and he's a sociopath or a psychopath and doesn't care about other people's feelings. And I think that's one of the other things that's interesting about this is how many people in there care about other people, even though they're supposed to, I guess, represent. And I think maybe that's why they brought in the whole thing where it's just average people, you know, wanting a weekend away, I guess, you know, and they would join in onto this or punish themselves. But there is still a lot of empathy in the people who live on the levels.
And that they show the regression in our heroine, mm-hmm. who comes there with high ideals, I think, and hiding whatever she's done.
Yeah.
But she starts out wanting to follow the rules,
mm-hmm.
because following the rules means you may survive.
Yeah.
But it becomes clear as she participates in some of the horror of this, it's because she's realized that following the rules doesn't always give great results.
Well, and the other thing I think to point out, and I pointed this out on the show, is there's a difference between the rules that were set up by the people who created the platform its system, and the rules people within the system
great point.
Are using to work within those rules. So you do have two different layers of rules, and the rules that were created by the people, you don't know all of them, and they don't care. I mean, it's a very brutal societal experiment.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the disappointments of the film is that we never get to see the creators.
Well, maybe Platform 3.
There probably will be. And I think they're going to have to do something more than what they did with 2.
They can't just regress people fighting over food.
Yeah, right. They can't do it. So how about another horror film with something something similar.
Well, you know what? There is sort of this subgenre of not as much prison movies, but people trapped in something. I mean, you can go to something like Stuart Gordon's Fortress, which had Christopher mm-hmm. Lambert, and that's just a cheesy mm-hmm. horror film in space. But I would take something more like Vincenzo Natali's Cube, if you've seen that. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of people trapped in this cube these cubes that move within each other, and they have to figure out how to get through. And like you don't know everybody's background, but one of them like maybe was involved in designing this, but ended up in there.
Good one.
It's a fascinating movie. I think Cube's smarter than this because it does kind of follow these rules and have. And you have to wonder why. It leaves a lot of unanswered questions. Okay. And the premise doesn't break the way Platform 2 is. But I kept having Cube flashbacks when I was watching.
Well, how about this one? No cannibalism in this one, but very much the class structure with Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. Absolutely, because you got the tears.
Yeah.
And it works for either the movie or the TV show. Because, I mean, they do. The farther up the chain you get.
Yes, you're right, yeah.
You're in there. But, you know, even something like The Matrix also fits as a movie where people are in a structure having to do rules. And if you go to like the later Matrix movies, you find out that people have come up and tried revolutions before, and Neo's not the first one.
Ah,
you know?
Yes, yes. Let's look at... why am I looking at 28 Days Later? There's nothing there.
Well, there's cannibalism. Yeah, I mean, there is a, you know, I haven't looked into as much about Danny Boyle's reasoning for making that, and if he had allegories. I haven't watched it very much as an allegorical film.
I mean, that's why I think Platform 2 is somewhat unusual, because you would have expected more on that cannibalistic theme films.
Apple TV has a series called Silo, and I've only watched a couple episodes of it, but it also has that feel to it where people are trapped in a system.
Yeah.
You know, even the Fallout series, which I think is Amazon Prime, has elements of that, okay. Although that services the video game culture more.
Another one that I think might be classified alongside of this one would be Bone Tomahawk. I don't know if you've seen that.
No,
one.
I've seen it. It's good. Oh.
Weren't those guys cannibals?
Oh, yeah. Well, they do have the cannibal element to
them. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to talk cannibal movies, yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay. And would we say The Descent is not cannibalism, but they're...
Descent, they're more trapped. Yeah. I would say something like Ravenous.
Okay.
With, I think, Guy Pearce and the guy from 28 Days Later, or 28 Weeks Later, I forget which one he was, from Trainspotting 2.
I think we've grossed out enough people already on our podcast, but I am intrigued by Platform 2 as I am in Platform 1. I still think it's a very original concept, mm-hmm. platform with food on it and chain of survival.
Yeah.
Going from the top to the bottom, and we're still living in it today. Even more so today, I think there are more haves than have-nots now than we've had at any time. And perhaps our election may change that in some way.
Well, I mean, there's also the rest of the world that suffers from that greatly as well.
Oh, boy, yeah. Constantly, yes. All right, Kevin Carr, it's called Platform 2, and I put that together with Platform 1. What's your recommendation?
I'd say check it out. Like I said, worth seeing. It's got a lot to think about, and it throws the allegorical elements so hard in your face
that you
have to focus on.
And remember, we said allegory is a story with the multiple levels of meaning. It could be a poem, it could be a play, it could be anything. It has other meanings.
Yes.
And it's the kind of thing we love on It's Movie Time and Cinema Classics.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons you're such a big success for us, and even you individually on your own shows, because you're willing to dive into the allegorical element.
It's always good to look at the subtext.